Welcome to W3W3.com Talk Radio. We're listening to the Internet radio show for the discriminating listeners. For listeners who want to tune in when the time is right for them, 24/7.
That's right, Larry. W3W3 Internet Talk Radio is designed for the learning listener. It's all about helping every listener and his or her team build a better personal and professional life.
Our guest in our profile of industry leaders needs no introduction. John Stefanis was a guest on our first World Wide Web radio show just a few years ago. We have discussed numerous burning topics, including his best-selling book, Net Ready.
Many of our listeners have asked, what's John Stefanis really like? What makes him tick, and why is he so successful? John, it's a pleasure to have you join us today.
Well, thanks, Pat and Larry. It's always a pleasure to be with you two again.
Oh, boy. Well, let's start out fast forward. What is your organization looking forward to this coming year?
Hopefully more profitability, Larry.
Woohoo! Back to the fundamentals.
But seriously, that's a very good question. Again, I think the way the economy is, sank and then it's coming back again, it's coming back in a very uneven mode. And you have manufacturing not quite recovering as rapidly as, let's say, the professional services sector. And I think there are different reasons for that. I think the more technology you put in place, quite frankly, you don't need as many people as you actually design, build, and manufacture and get the car out the door. On the other hand, people are people, and you still need intellectual capital, and you still need service types, which is why I think that's rebounding faster. And I'm not sure if people, look at it and say, well, gosh, it may be quite unlike peanut butter, but spread evenly, but it's, going up and down, and not sure where it's going over the next, couple of quarters. And I think that's part of the phenomenon. The other part is there just isn't enough visibility yet. I think, quite frankly, it'll take another two quarters for most organizations, CEOs and companies, to say, well, okay, now I have an idea where we're going, but next year coming up or the remainder of this year is profitability and earnings per share.
By the way, Cisco really isn't making cars, right?
No, we're not making cars. We have not changed our business strategy.
Oh, good.
In this current climate, nobody knows for sure about anything.
Right, Pat. It's not very, you just can't see too far out in the future in this one.
Now, let's rewind a little and get a historical perspective of the experiences and events that shaped your growth. Who was a very influential person in your earlier life, and what was a key point you learned from that influence?
Actually, I think as I was growing up, there are two sets of basically an individual that influenced my life dramatically. First, when I was very, very young, were my grandparents and then my parents. And the one thing I really learned from my grandparents was the fact that, they always had the value system that your word is your honor. And when you gave your word, that was a bond. And you lived up to your word or else, quite frankly, you had nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
That really was, proved to be very, very helpful all the way through life in terms of, if I said I was going to do something, I made a commitment, and you gave your word, you had to get it done. And I think the other one is, again, going older, is that the notion of the work ethic, where you really, you do a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, and you always tend to over-deliver. And it was this notion of having a very, very strong work ethic. And I think that coupled from the fact that I grew up in a steel mill town, and, literally I'm the first generation American, so everybody was from Italy. You really had a very, very strong desire, at least I did, to get out of the town and actually go to work in a suit, which was a major motivator for me.
We're going to call you John of the Bond. Your word is your bond. John, what experience in your education or background influenced your values and beliefs the most?
Well, it was interesting, Larry. Many years ago when I was in undergraduate school, I always wanted to be a mathematician. They had one course called Basic Math, which was really not basic, but it was a flunk-out course for mathematicians. And you could see the hammering on the wall.
Yeah.
You had to really be brilliant to go through this course, and I just wasn't that good. A couple with that, I had the professor at the time, and he said, you'll never be a mathematician. You're not bright enough. In fact, you should never even be at this college. And I doubt you'd ever get anywhere in life. And so I stopped being a mathematician and went on to other things, and about 4 years later, I got out of grad school, and I ran into him again on campus. And his first comment was, I'm surprised that you made it. It must mean that our standards are very low now and getting worse. And I thought, I will make something of myself just to spite this man and come back and show him. And that was probably one of the more defining moments of my life in terms of how do you deal with that kind of negative feedback And what would you do? Do you give up or do you try to excel? And my choice was to, you know, try to go out there and excel and be, you know, an overachiever for all practical purposes. So it was a very traumatic experience.
John, what challenge did you encounter that you had to learn to live with? And is there a lesson here that could benefit our listeners?
Well, one of the things I learned very early on, primarily going through college and grad school and then later on in life, is that there is always someone smarter than you. And no matter how bright you think you are, no matter how bright you are, there's always somebody else that is right in back of you that is faster, brighter, sharper, smarter. And that is just the way it is. And whether you're, you know, it doesn't matter what field you're in, you have to realize that you may think you're really the greatest thing since sliced bread, but the fact is there is always somebody out there that, quite frankly, is sharper for whatever reasons. It could be genetics. It could be, you know, literally just working hard at what they do. But there is always somebody smarter. You should never take yourself, you know, seriously enough to think that you're the best.
Wow, that reminds me of the old Mark Twain. Just when I thought I knew everything, they changed all the rules. Whoa.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, say, John, what was the turning point in your business career?
The turning point in my business career was literally one day I sat down and I was really depressed. I had just gone through a divorce, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and I was having lunch with an old friend of mine. And I asked the question, what do I do with my resume? And he looked at me, resume, and he said, go on to manage for consulting, which I had no idea what that was about. So I went through the process and cold called all the firms in those days and finally got a job as a manager consultant. And I also began to realize that, number one, you had to have the initiative to do that. But secondly, as I got into it, realizing that, you know, in terms of a career path, even as a manager consultant, there are two paths to go. One was the basically the administrative path, which is becoming, you know, more involved with the manager of the firm and with the administration and just working way up in that fashion. The other path was being very good at what you do, and that is in consulting in a given area and having the expertise, both of which were viable paths. The path I chose was trying to be the best at what I could do, because the other path, quite frankly, you had to have competencies in being politically intriguing, or just have political, you know, astuteness and awareness. And it was one of those jobs that there was always somebody going at your back. And that was a life I just didn't want to do. And although you could probably have made more money one way than the other, but the fact is, going back to the earlier comment about your word is your bond, I can never live that way.
Well, that's a great point. Great point.
Do you have some advice that you'd give to a younger person who is on your career path?
Yes. I think the best advice I could give is literally, if you choose one of the two paths, administrative or, you know, the management ranks or consulting, if you choose consulting, pick out an area that you really, truly love and are passionate about, because then it is never work. It's always fun. And you've got to have the capacity to just love to learn, because that's what everything is about. And someone said, well, how come, you know, you always seem to be, you know, do quite well in what you do? And it's like, well, I make every mistake at least once. I try not to make them twice. You know, always learn from your mistakes and keep that in the back of your mind, because businesses go through cycles, and 10 years later, you recognize the same pattern that a company went through 10 years ago, and you have an answer to it, or at least give them some guidance. So never forget what you learned.
Wow, boy. Talk about balance, but I've got a different balance question here. John, what do you do to bring balance into your personal and professional lives?
Larry, you're probably asking the wrong person, because I have come to the conclusion, and I have no balance. It sounds like a sad state of affairs, but it's just been work or books, or, you know, work or books. And I haven't had balance in my life since my kids were at home, and once they left, it was like one singular track, and that was, you know, literally just primarily work and a couple of vacations. I do not have balance, and that is a very, very sad state of affairs for me. I'm trying to work on that, and this year, 2002, is one of my goals, is to achieve more balance in my life.
You know, that's something that we're going to check up on with you. We interview you regularly every week, as a matter of fact, and we'll keep a progress report going.
I think you should. That's about the only way I'm going to make my goal, Larry.
Oh, gosh. John, what will your legacy be, and how do you want to be remembered?
I think the legacy, if nothing else, I don't want to sound, really full of myself. I think it's the books I wrote, and those will always be there. Nobody can take that away. You may not read them, or they may not be popular, but the fact is that I think there were a lot of good ideas, and it'll be there in written word for many, many years to come. The other one, which is very surprising, and it happens every now and again, you never realize how many people you touch along your lifespan or even your career. And it is so rewarding to have somebody say, well, I heard you 10 years ago or 12 years ago or 5 years ago, and I really like what you said, and you changed my life. I went to a different career path. I, did something different within a company. And as those vignettes, that to me, that's how I like to be remembered.
Wow, boy, that's really neat. You know, with all the different places that your book has been published, I wouldn't worry about the people not reading it. If they want to get ahead in e-business, this is the book for sure. That's Net Ready.
Larry, you're very kind. Thank you.
Well, it's true. John, and I really do want to thank you for sharing your personal experiences, and I really know that this will benefit our W3 audience in many different ways. John, we're looking forward to talking with you next week, and there are a number of your other interviews to listen to and to choose from on the W3W3.com website right now.
Well, Pat and Larry, again, thank you for your time and for having me on the show.
Thank you, John. This is Larry and Pat Nelson on the World Wide Web Radio Show. Check out all of our learning channels on W3W3.com.